Look with us in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8. Now, the reason I want you to see this is the fall of Babylon has been predicted for a long, long time. Did we have that one, Brother Steve? Revelation 14, 8. Now, the reason I want you to see this is the time frame, and there followed another angel saying Babylon is fallen, that great city, four chapters before its fall is described. But he says, because she, that great city, she, notice that, made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Notice that. We'll see it again later in the next few weeks. So Babylon is going to fall, and it falls at the middle of the tribulation. Now, when we study chapter 5 of Daniel, we see the fall of Babylon when Belshazzar was the king. And we're going to see that same Babylon. But not the government Babylon, but a different type of Babylon that will arise and fall in the last days. So it tells us about that coming. Now, the reason that I want to say this is that when we here in chapter 5, we see this picture of Babylon falling, that marks the middle of the tribulation. Daniel chapter 6 through chapter 12 is about the second half of the great tribulation. Now, in Daniel chapter 6, it's about the persecuted Jew. Because here is where Daniel, and they connive against him and get him thrown into the lion's den because he prays unto his God. And these people, not the king, these people despise Daniel because who he is. Because he's been recognized by the powers of the kingdom as a great man, a man greatly respected, but it's kind of like the book of Esther, how Haman hated Mordecai so bad. Here, they despise this Jew named Daniel. And they persecute him and try to destroy Daniel, but there's a greater persecution coming of the Jew. Now, after the captivity, and when the Lord came on the scene and the Roman Empire was in power, the Jew was still hated. Look with us in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 9. Now here the Lord talks about this thing that's going to happen in the future, and the Lord is speaking to his disciples about what's going to take place before his return. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Have you ever known of any group of people that's been hated any more than the Jewish people? They are hated and despised today. The United Nations absolutely has no use for them. If it wasn't for us and a few more, they would be without a friend at all. But we know there's an underlying reason why a country that's founded upon God's word, as our country is, still supports the people of God. And I'm so glad that we do. Now, he says that you're going to be hated for my name's sake. Now, look briefly with us in the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14. He says, when the dragon saw that he was cast out of the earth, this happens at the middle of the tribulation. The devil is cast out. He's the prince and power of the air, the god of this world. He is cast out of heaven, and he will abide the last 42 months upon this earth. He said, I saw that he was cast to the earth. He persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. And if you'll read earlier in that chapter, the man-child that she brought forth will rule this world someday. That is a picture of Israel right there. This woman being persecuted. Look with us in verse 14. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, the same thing that Israel was given when they was brought out of the land of Egypt, that she might fly into the wilderness and her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. We found out further in this chapter here that it's 1260 days or 42 months. And we know that she's nourished for a time and time and half time. A time is a year, times is two, half is 6 months, that's three and a half. But she's going to be fly into the wilderness. We find in the book of Isaiah, it is a place called Selah Petra. And it is a place that God has set aside to protect his people during that time. So that is an important part of prophecy. But the persecution that started in Daniel chapter 6 is a picture and a theme of a persecution of the Jew that's going to take place right till the Lord returns. So think about that. And in verse 8, chapter 7. Now, these last powers, look with us in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a beast dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Now, this is the fourth beast that he sees. It devoureth and breaketh in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, notice this right here. Look at the next verse. And concerning horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Now this carries all the way over into Revelation chapter 17 also. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. This is a picture of the rise of the power of the Antichrist. And that's what we're seeing in this right here, is the rise of the Antichrist. Now in chapter 7 of Daniel, it's talking about the powers of the last days. Here, this power that he's talking about is a power that's going to come, and this is the last power that will stand upon this world until the Lord returns. The 10 kings have lost their power. The power all belongs to this one horn right here, this one king. So chapter 7 is a picture of the powers of the last day, and that's what Daniel's talking about, and it's a picture of that last one to arise. Look with us in Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, because Daniel chapter 8 is also about this same one. Now, through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper. Now, what I want you to think about there at this particular one that he's talking about, this one that rises in power in the last days, the last one to hold world power, the Antichrist, is going to actually take up and try to fight the Lord himself. And that this verse will help you to understand that. He says that he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Now, craft is skilled people. That's people that make their living with a skill. And he is going to allow them and make it to where they're going to prosper. Now, this, I don't want to stretch this point, but I want to make this point, that he is going to be a friend of the working person. He is going to be a blue-collar type appeal to these people. And he said, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, he's going to magnify himself. He's going to really have a high opinion of himself. You've seen people that just kind of walk with that, you know. This kind of jive with it. They's full of theirself. You've seen them. Well, he's going to be full of himself. And he says, and by peace shall destroy many. Now, how in the world do you whoop people with peace? Well, you display yourself as a peaceful one. You remember the white horse rider in Revelation chapter 6? He had a bow with no arrows. That's kind of peaceful, ain't it? A white horse, he's got a bow, ain't got no iron, he ain't gonna hurt nobody. He's got folks that do the hurting. And you can mark it down. These folks that act like they're so full of peace and love, they've got some folks working in the background that ain't. It happens every time. And he says here, he's gonna destroy many by peace. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. You see that capital P? He's gonna actually stand up. He's gonna think he can whoop the Lord when the Lord comes back. Look what it says, but he shall be broken without hand. You know why? You know how the Lord whoops him? With that two-edged sword that proceeds out of his mouth. The Lord don't have to have hand-to-hand combat to take care of him. His word takes care of it. Chapter 8 is about that last power. Chapter 9 is about the broken covenant. Look in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. We're doing pretty good. We got 21 minutes left. He said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, in this, in Daniel chapter 9, it's all about these 70 weeks of prophecy. That's what Daniel is all about. And he said, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now, excuse me. The Jew is going to be given blindly. They're going to be given a covenant for the first 42 months of the tribulation. And you remember how Cyrus allowed, through this proclamation, he allows the Jew, or orders the Jew to come back in and rebuild through the book of Nehemiah and Ezra. They rebuild the walls, the gates, and all these things. Well, he's going to allow them to come in too for this first 42 months, and they're going to actually rebuild the temple there in Jerusalem. Now, upon that soil today, inside the walls, there's the Mosque of Omar. It's a Muslim place, temple, whatever. It's just brick and mortar. But that thing's going. And I don't know how he's going to do it. But the Jew is going to rebuild their temple right there. Now, if you try to go over today and talk to them Muslims about moving that thing and the Jews building the temple, it'd be hard. I don't believe all the news media could cover that. But this covenant, this Antichrist, is going to be able to befriend some way the Muslims, and he's going to make a covenant, and they're going to rebuild that thing, and they're going to, in Revelation chapter 6, they're going to be there, in there, sacrificing, and then he's going to come in, and he's going to remove that Jew. He's going to break that covenant. Look what he says. In the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation. See, they're going to cut him off. And he says, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate, for the next 42 months, he is going to go into the temple of God, and he's going to sit there, and he's going to rule the world from the temple in Jerusalem. Now notice that. Now when we get this, look in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 15. And this was where the Lord, as we spoke a while ago, about how the Jew was going to be persecuted. The Lord, this is before he dies at Calvary. He tells a Jew what's going to happen. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Did you see that? He's going to actually stand there. Now, some of the people, the theologians that don't believe Daniel is really a prophet and don't believe the book of Daniel was written when it was, forgot to read this, because this right here, the Lord himself said, the prophet Daniel. And if the Lord gives Daniel a thumbs up, we better give him a thumbs up. And those people that don't believe Daniel wrote the book of Daniel or somebody else wrote it, you don't need that. And those people, most of them is theologians that make their living doing religious stuff. You know that. They don't really believe this book, but they make a pretty good living doing religious stuff. A lot of people doing that, ain't they? If there's a buck in it, they'll be in there. It's all about the money in it. But notice what he says here, that it's going to take place, and it's going to take place in the future, and it's going to take place, if you'll read the rest of Matthew chapter 24, it's going to take place right before the Lord comes back. Now, when the Lord was upon this earth, he went in there, and the money changers was at the temple, and he turned the tables over and took that thing and run them all out of town. Think how what it's going to be when the Lord comes into town this time. He's going to come in through the eastern gate, and the Lord is going to liberate Jerusalem in such a way that they've never seen before. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, it's the powers of heaven that battle for Israel. Look in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13 and 14. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me and remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, notice that right there. And then he goes on to say, In the next verse, Daniel 4, and verse 14, now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Daniel says this spiritual battle that was taking place in Daniel chapter 10 is going to be taking place in the latter days too. Now notice that. And notice what he says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. Now back to the devil, which was cast out. He said, and this is Revelation chapter 12, and this is at the middle of the tribulation. What I want you to see is the comparison between that and what Daniel's talking about. Because everything from Daniel chapter 5 forward has to do with the last half of the tribulation in prophecy. He said, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Look at the next verse. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now this battle that takes place, the reason Michael goes, the same one it was in chapter 10, the reason that he goes to battle is to take up for Israel. Look in verse 9. He says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, in the last half of the tribulation, the devil himself is going to be cast down, and he will incarnate himself in the person of the Antichrist, and his angels will be upon this earth too. They will be doing, I'm not sure exactly what they'll be doing, but they're going to be empowering the works of Satan during that day. They may be even a great influence and a help to the ten kings that will rule before the Lord returns. Because we see here this king of Persia, back in verse 8 on that, how the king of Persia and the king and Michael fought together. So anytime the Lord has people fighting on his side, the devil has a spiritual power fighting on the other side. So we see that in these scriptures over and over in this spiritual battle. Now let's go down to Daniel chapter 11, because this has to do with the Antichrist's last stand. Daniel 11, verse 36 and 37. Now when we actually go into these chapters in the next few weeks, we've already kind of outlined them, so we won't have to spend as much time in them, and we can get down to some things that maybe is a little more interesting. He said, and the king shall do according to his will. Now, this king that he's talking about is the Antichrist, the last world leader. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, the little g, because in that day, the world in the day of the great tribulation, there'll be many idols, there'll be many false gods, and he's going to magnify himself above that. Excuse me. The first thing he has to do is get rid of the little gods and speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and that's Jehovah, capital G. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. He has given this time. Now what that means is the Lord has given him this time to carry out his campaign for the last 42 months. And the Lord is even going to allow him to say, he says that he will say things, marvelous things against God. The Lord is even going to allow him to blaspheme, and we see that in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, that he will even allow him to blaspheme his own name. Now, folks, that's hard to understand, but God is a very patient and loving God. And during that time, he's going to allow a lot of things go on. But at the same time that's going on, they will be the gospel of the kingdom will be preached at that same time. Now, let's Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 is about the end of the tribulation, and it's about the resurrection of the saints. Look with us in Daniel chapter 12 in verse 1. Now, the theme here that we're seeing is the last thing to happen at the end of the tribulation, when the Antichrist is finally destroyed, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Did you see that? He is that spiritual being that fights for Israel all the way through the great tribulation. Now, I know nothing about Michael other than the fact that he is an archangel, and there's only one archangel mentioned in the Bible, and it is always Michael, the archangel. He was brought in when the devil tried to steal the body of Moses after he died and the Lord buried him. And he comes in and says, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So Michael uses God's word to rebuke the devil with. And that's even more powerful than he is. And Michael is a great and powerful angel. He says here, in which standeth for the children of our people, and there shall be a time of trouble, which shall never be, what never was since there was a nation. At that same time, he's talking about the great tribulation that's coming. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that is found written in the book. And that's what chapter 12, verse 1 is all about. It's about these 7 years. But then notice at the end of it, he talks about something in closing in Daniel chapter 12. Look at verses 11 through 13. And he says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. You remember that, the temple? The Antichrist comes in, setteth in the temple. The Lord said he would stand in the holy place. He said, in the abomination that maketh desolation set up, notice that, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, 1,260 days is 42 months. So there's an extra 30 days there, which kind of tells you that the Antichrist probably is going to come into Jerusalem and break that covenant. He says in the midst of the week, he'll probably even fudge a little bit and take another 30 days off of it. So notice what he says in verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. That's 1,335 days. We had 1,290 days. We got 45 days there, hadn't we? You remember what we're studying here? The summer threshing floors. That's what we're studying. We're studying about the harvest. We're studying about when they put that wheat or whatever down there and they thrash it. And they break the stalk away from the kernels. And then they take that and throw it up into the air. They winnow it. And they cast it up and the wind comes through and takes that chaff away. And all that falls down is that good grain. And he said, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. 45 days, the winds of God's judgment will blow. And notice what he says in this next verse. But go thy way, he's talking to Daniel, till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel's 90-something year old at this point. He's been in captivity for 70. He's went through Darius. He's went through Cyrus. He's 90-something years old. And the Lord said, just go on your way, Daniel, till the end be. And after 1,390 days, the Lord's going to come over and, Daniel, wake up. He's going to wake old Daniel up and all them Old Testament saints, and they're going to rise. It's like Lazarus coming out of that tomb. Them Old Testament saints is going to come out. They don't come out when we come out. Daniel's waiting to the end of the tribulation before his resurrection. Our resurrection is at the second coming when the Lord comes back in the rapture. But Daniel won't be resurrected until 45 days after the Lord comes back in the battle of Armageddon. And he says, and stand thy in thy lot at the end of the days. The Lord's already got him a lot cut out. I wonder how many acres Daniel gets. At least 40 acres, surely to goodness. But Daniel has got a place prepared for him of the Lord. Now, we've hit a lot of stuff there. And that's, Tony, the best I can do to answer your question. I think the book of Daniel is written in such a way that it expresses a theme that goes through the ages. But if it ain't, we did cover a lot of stuff. Either way, right? Right or wrong, we covered a lot of stuff there. Now, we've got about 7 minutes. Turn over to the next sheet that I gave you. Excuse me. And what I want you to look at, and go with us, Brother Steve, I don't know if I've got this in order to go to Daniel chapter 2. And let's go down and read verse 40. Yeah, 40 and 41. Go to Daniel 40 and 41. And you'll be looking at that while I'm here. Now, I fixed this up this week. I've done similars of these in the past, but I tried to do it a little bit different. And what I want you to see, Daniel chapter 2, verse 40, when Steve throws that up there, and as we're reading it, I want you to look at that. Now, the title block at the top of that thing up there, it says the Roman Empire's legs and feet. And I put 27 to 30 B.C. The reason I do that, the last battle was won in 30 B.C. But the Senate of Rome named their first emperor, and that was Augusta Caesar in 27 B.C. And that's where most people start the Roman Empire. But it actually started in its dominant power in 30. But notice what Daniel says, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. And that's the reason I want you to think about this Roman arm. Now, iron is magnetic, and iron is cheap, and iron rusts, and iron is very strong. So when you think about that, it's cheap, it's strong, and it has an attraction. And he says, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdue all things, because iron was able to break, it was much stronger than brass. And at that time, that was the Sherman tank. It had the most power. Anything made out of iron would always overcome anything else. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Now, pieces is the armies. Bruise is flesh. So the Roman Empire was not only a power that could destroy the other armies, but it was able to destroy the flesh too. That bruise in there ties it in with the person. It also ties something else in that we're going to see here in just a minute. But on the chart that you've got in your hands, let's go to verse 41 first. 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. And if you go into the book, especially Jeremiah 18, you can make a note of that. It may be on there somewhere. But Jeremiah 18, you remember he goes into the potter's house and he's molding the clay. And that clay that he's molding is the nation of Israel, is the people of God. So when you see potter's clay, it represents in prophecy, it represents people. It represents what God can do with people. And he says, part of potter's clay and part of iron, and that's two things that will not bond. But if you put enough pressure on it and form it together, this clay and iron could be maintained as long as something didn't hit it. But it looks real pretty until the pressure's put on. He says, in part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Now notice that. But there shall be in it the strength of iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. Now, in the chart that I give you, go over to the chart, and we got 2 or 3 minutes here. What we're seeing is the beginning of the Roman Empire. And it starts, and it comes down, and in 364 A.D., that first dot there in the middle, it's divided between the Western and Eastern Empire. And then it starts down. That's the legs that were divided. And this leg over here, it falls in 476 A.D. And that other leg continues all the way down to Constantinople when the Ottoman Empire takes over in 1453. So one leg's a little longer than the other leg, which makes you kind of walk a little funny. And here, what happens before the first leg falls in 476, did you notice over there? Theodosius I, the emperor, from 379 to 395, he rules both divisions. He's the last emperor that ruled both legs. And then he makes Nicene Christianity. That's not the faith that we have. It is a very orthodox, ritualistic Christian perversion. And I say that with all the love that I can say. He makes Nicene Christianity, and if you want to know more about that, go read the Nicene Creed, the Nicene Creed of 325, and it'll tell you what's going on. He says that he makes it the state religion and places his power under it. In other words, the church, the Roman church, has become the faith or the religion of the Roman Empire, and Theodosius I puts his power under that. In other words, the church distributes the power to the Roman Empire. And then the Roman Empire begins to fall. But look down what happens in 1054 A.D. The Roman church splits. It splits between the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox. And that's the feet that we're talking about on this image in Daniel chapter 2. You see that iron and you see that clay? That's that Roman iron that's always going to be there. That's that cruel, strong. They will go forth and they have no concern about anything but their power. But see that clay? These people in there. And we're going to see in Revelation chapter 18, there's going to be a call that God makes. And he says, my people come out. And I'll say this, you may disagree with me. It won't matter because I've been in disagreement all my life. there is people in the Roman Catholic Church that love the Lord and are born again. There's people in the Baptist Church that's headed for hell. It has to do with, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in your heart? And the Lord calls for this people. He says, come out, my people. Because within these feet are a lot of people that belong to God. And I don't know who they are. And that's not my job to know who they are. It's not my job to know who they are in the Baptist church. It's just my job to teach the Word of God and hope that God's Spirit will help our hearts understand our own personal needs. Now, this right here, let's do this. The Roman Catholic Church goes down. It has 1.2 billion people. That foot is a very strong foot. The Eastern Orthodox Church comes down, and that church continues today. It has about 250 million people in it, and that's the Russian bloc countries. That's Romania and all that area in there. And let me give you something to think about. Vladimir Putin. He is a Eastern Russian Orthodox Christian. He was baptized by his mother. His daddy was an atheist. We're going to get into his a little bit about him in the next few weeks. But he belongs to that foot. And that foot has five toes. And this foot over here has five toes. I'm not saying he's a toe. He'd like to be more than a toe. He may have to settle for being a toe. He might not even get to be a toe. But what I'm telling you, the Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church are the feet, this Roman arm that stands. But within that is some people that God has saved. And I don't know how many. But what we're going to have to see as we study this in Scripture is that the Lord is working a great work. And folks, it's complex. I don't claim. I've been studying 40 years and I just barely can touch just a little bit and grasp just a little bit of it. But notice on the left side up there, that cross, AD 33, that's the Lord. And with under that, if you'll go down through there, we won't even run that reference. You read that in your own time. That's going on today. And that Roman church in that Eastern Orthodox goes across there and they tie into that. If they tie in by grace through faith, if they've trusted the same Savior that we've trusted, they're a part of the body of Christ just like we are. Now, on the far right over there, you see that up there in Jude 11? Woe unto them that have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam's reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Notice that. Cain was just an old religious guy. You know what Cain believed? He believed to die down to something good enough. Ah, Lord, let me in. I'm a pretty good old feller. You've seen them people, ain't you? Pretty good old fellers. But there's only two religions in this world. That's the one that thinks they're a pretty good old feller and they've done enough to make God happy and he's going to let them into heaven someday. And there's those that knows that the only way is through God's Son that died at Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago and died for my sins and your sins. There's only two religions, works or faith. And faith will take you to heaven. Works will follow you into hell. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for the time that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the prophecies of Daniel, Lord, that has been preserved and given unto us that we can read and study. Our hearts can be encouraged. And Lord, if nothing else, to cause us to think and meditate upon the things that you've written. We thank you so much for these people that's come tonight, for their families, their loved ones, Lord, and for the effort that they've made to come out. Bless us, Lord, in these last days. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.